The Mishnah tells us that for Nezikin you need Eidus, and the Eidus has to be Eidus Kshera. And the Mishnah explicitly mentions Bnei Bris, Lafuki, to exclude a non-Jew. And there's a long discussion here, we're on Daf Tesvav and Aleph, in the Mefarshim, as to why the Mishnah needs to tell me in Dini Nezikin that you cannot rely on the Eidus of Goyim. After all, we know that a Goy is Posel Liedus. What was the Havamina that the Mishnah is coming Lafuki? And it would seem that according to the Havamina, there's a separate din in Nezikin that perhaps you don't need formal Eidus, and even someone who might be a Psul Aguf, like a Goy, but since he has Nemonus, and the Mefarshim goes as far as to compare it to the Nemonus of a Chaya. A Chaya is the Oledes, she's the one, the midwife, who helps the pregnant mother give birth to her child, and the Chaya has certain Nemonus. For example, she can tell and testify which is the Bechar, which would normally require two Eidim, because she's the one who's on top of it. And that gives her a special Nemonus. Meaning, I don't need formal Eidus to be Mechayev and Nezikin, I just need to clarify the truth and establish what happened. That kind of proof and evidence can sometimes be established by a Goyim. For example, where do these Nizkei Shein Veregel happen? They usually happen out in a barn, out in some place where they keep the horses, the stables, and so forth and so on, out in the grazing lands. Who's there to testify what happened amongst the animals? It's usually Goyim, it might be Avadim, and therefore we should rely on them because they are the, so to speak, the last evidence that we can finally rely upon. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah tells us, no, that you need Eidus Gemura, and Nezikin is not a separate halacha, it's to be universalized amongst all Dini Mamanis, and you need two Eidim Ksherim Lafuki Goyim. There's a discussion here about the Rush. What would be the din, for example, if a Jew was suing a non-Jew for damages in a non-Jewish court, in a civil court? And in such a case, of course, the evidence of non-Jews would be acceptable as testimony. And in effect, this Jew, as the Nizak, as the plaintiff, could win his case based on the testimony of Edom in a civil court. The Rush says, nonetheless, if this same case comes in front of Dayani Yisrael, in front of a Jewish Beis Din, we're going to need two Eidim Ksherim. That requirement is not dropped, and Goyim will not be reliable. Now, as far as the Psul of Goyim and Eidus is concerned, there's a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in the Sugin Gittin on Daf Yud. Rashi seems to take the approach that the issue of Goyim is one of a chashash sheker, and if we could rely on the Eidim, for example, the discussion there is about a document that was signed by non-Jews as testimony in a civil court, the document came in front of a civil court, and Rashi assumes over there in Gittin Daf Tesam and Beis Dibra Masal Psula that the Torah itself would rely on these documents, on these shtaros. There'd be Koshim in a Torah because Yadua, we know that in Archos Eina Meshach, we can rely on the civil courts that this testimony is reliable, there's no perjury. Tosfos says, no, Min HaTorah a Goy is Posel Yedus, and the din that we could rely on shtaros, hayotzim, miarchos shalak, that's only a takonis chachamim. Because Tosfos holds that, forget about the chashash sheker, there's a separate psul of goyim, but goy is posel yedus, and that's the end of it. We are now beginning a few lines down from the top of Tesvav Amud Aleph, anoshim bichlal hanezek. Women are included in Nezikin. And that means two things. That means that if somebody damaged a woman, a woman's property, he would pay damages. And the flip side, of course, if a woman was responsible for damages, she would have to pay Nezikin. And the Gemara is going to offer a whole barrage of Yalfusis. And then to figure out why we need all these elfusas. Minani mili, what's the source for equating a woman with a man as far as dine nezikin is concerned? Om Rabbi Yudom Ara, v'chein tani debei Rabbi Yishmael. Omar Kra, the pasuk says with regard to someone who steals and then takes a false oath, ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatos o adam. And the Torah indicates that ish o isha, whether it's a man or a woman, there is a punishment for shvua sheker and a chet and a requirement of kapara hishva kosev ish li ish lechol onshim sheba Torah. The Torah equates men and women for onshim, but actually you'll look in the Mefarshim and they decide, Tosfos and others, that the word onshim here in this context means averos. That as far as averos is concerned, for which you get punished, there's no difference between men and women. And this is based on a Rashi in Kiddushin, the Torah's Chaim. Here has a long discussion about it. Fine. That's Debei Rabbi Yishmael. Now we get to Debei Rabbi Elazar, Tana. And here we have a second Braisa. And now, as opposed to the previous Pasuk, Isho Isho Kiyasu, which is in Bamidbar Perkei, now we're back into Mishpatim in the Parsha of Nezikin. V'Ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. And the question is what Lifnehem means in the plural. Hishva kosev ish li ish l'chol dinim sheba Torah. And the answer is that this word lifneim is a reference to men and women. That's the plural of lifneim. And now we're equating men and women as far as all dinim ominous. That's called mishpatim. We're no longer talking about averos, now we're talking about dinim ominous. Now, Tosus and Gittin says that the word Lifneihem includes the Dayanim and also the litigants who come to judge. And here, since it's in plural, it means both Ish and Isha. They have the same status in judgment. Now, before we get to a very important question and answer of Rabbeinu Peretz, on this drasha of Tana Debei Elazar, I would just like to first mention to you that the word lifneim is ola al dayanim. It refers to the dayanim. Then the plural of lifneim, ish v'isha, would imply that an isha is ksheira ladun. And Tosfos in Masechet Nida is bothered by this because we have a principle called Akasha Lahayid Kasha Ladun. A woman is excluded from Eidus, therefore she should be excluded Ladun. But in any event, what I really wanted to discuss with you in the short time that we have is the Kash and the Teretz of Rabbeinu Peretz. And the question is, if there is actually a Havamina, and we need a Pasuk Lafuke, that a woman is not included in Dine Nezikin, and Tzorech Pasuk, we need a Pasuk, L'Rabos She'isha Shayeches B'chol Adinim Shebetorah, right? That's what we have over here in Tani Debei Rabbi Lazar, that Hishva Kosev Isha L'ish L'chol Dinim Shebetorah. Well, if that be the case, Noshim in the Havamina Eina B'chol Adinim, and therefore for sure that psulim li edus. And why is that? Again, the premise of Rabbeinu Peretz is that why should we need a pasuk to tell us that women are included in dinim? Have a pasuk that excludes women from edus and disqualifies women. That's a sugya in Shavuos Daf Lamed. So there was apparently a havamina that women are ksheros lahayit, and they could testify. Now, if women are not bichlal dinim in this havamina, then for sure they're psulim liedus. Why? Because we have a principle called edus she'iyat yochel azima. It would be impossible to be mazim, a woman who testifies, if, according to this havamina, she's not included in dinim. Which means, let's say that the Torah says for perjuring yourselves, kashazomam lasos liochiv, we consider as if you did something to damage your friend, that's the status of the Edim. Well, a woman, even if she would damage Biyadayim, says Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, she would be Ptura L'Shalem in this Hav, meaning because she's not B'chlal Adinin. Because then Kolshkein, through Dibur B'Alma and Edus, she would not be included in the punishment of Kasha Zomim Lassus Liyachah, which means her Edus would be Edus Yatiel Chazima, and therefore why do you need a Pasuk to exclude a woman from Edus, since it's a psul of Edus Yatiel Chazima? And the answer that's offered by the Tshuvas, Hari Besamim, is that Yesh Lachar, what's the status of a woman in Edus? Is it a psul, or is it that she doesn't have a shame of aid at all? If it's aid is shiati ochel azima, then she is an aid, but she's an aid psula, an aid posel. If, on the other hand, the Torah went out of its way to exclude nashim, it means they were mafkia, the shame aid from an isha. The nafkamina is where the halach of nibza echem and karav posel would apply to an isha. In any event, that's more for an in-depth shiur, but it's a beautiful masu matan here regarding this havamina that women are not included in dinim, and yet there was a havamina that a woman would be ksheira lahaid. They would, she be, if not for especially alfusa, she would be qualified as an aid, as a witness. So far we had two possible sources for equating the status of women with men with regard to Dini Nezikin. We have the first drasha regarding Averos, that's the drasha of Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. The second drasha regarding Dinim is the drasha of Rabbi Loza. Now we have a third drasha, Debe Chizkiya of Rabbi Yossi Aglili Tana. There's a brisa in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omar Kra, in the parish of Shar Shehemis Adam. In Parshas Mishpatim, it says Vehemis Ish O Isha, and then the pasuk says Hashar Yisakel Vegamba Olav Yuma. So it means that if a woman was killed, she was a victim of an Agich of Ashar, the Baal Ashar has to pay Kapara. That's the gambol of Yumas, is Hishva, because of Ishal Ishlachol Misos Shebat Torah. Means that a woman, if she's killed, if she's victimized, then the normal Dine Nezik can apply, in this case, the Chiyuv Kofer. And the Rashba here, Dibra Maschil Lichol, says that he doesn't know what is the source for the fact that if an Isha Harga Chayevis Misa, if she was a murderer. Very interesting. Here we're dealing with the case where the Isha was a victim of murder. But the Rash wants no mehecha nilmad she Isha she harga Chayevis Misa. And he says that it's possible that we learn it from the Pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, Mos Yumas Harotzeach. It doesn't say Ish, which would normally exclude Isha, and therefore it's coming to include Isha, that she is culpable for capital punishment if she murders someone. So now we have three different Yalfusas, three different Limudim, to establish and upgrade Isha to the equal status of a man in Ezekiel. And the Gemara says, Utsrichi, we need all three Psukim. And why is that? The Iashmeina and Kamaisa, if we only had the first Pasuk that says that if she takes a Shvua Sheker, she has to bring a carbon, she needs Kapara, she's included in the Avera of Shvua Sheker of a Gazlan. Hasam Hudachas Rachmani Aleh. Maybe the Torah wants to give her the opportunity of kapara, and the Torah was therefore very compassionate with her and offered her the opportunity to bring a korban as a mechaper for shvua sheker aval dinim, but in dini momenos, maybe only an ish devar masu maton, he gets involved in the world of finance, classically masu maton, in as far as a man is concerned, there's a chalos dini momenos, but isha, Lo. The Iash meaning dinim. If we had the chiddush of dinim, so we would have a half minute to say that in dinim, meaning in dinim mominus, the Torah equates women and men ki hechi dehevile lo chiyusa, so that she should also be able to survive financially in the world of finance. People will agree to sell her something so that she could support herself. Avol kapora, when it comes to averus and kapora therein, ish debar mitzvah in. Isha delav bas mitzvah lo, a man who's chayv in all the mitzvahs. The Torah wanted to include him in the parasha of kapara when he does averos, but an isha who doesn't have the same status of a man as far as chayv mitzvahs is concerned, lo, she's not included in the parasha of kapara. V'yashmin ani tarate. If we have the first two drashos, which means number one that as far as kapara is concerned she's included, number two as far as averos, as far as dini mamana she's included. Hacha mishum kapara v'hacha mishum chiyusa avolinik tola ish de bar mitzvah l'shalim kofer ish alo. When we get to the third issue, and that is a case where a shor killed a person, and we want to know whether or not if she was killed by someone's shor, there would be a chiyuv kofer. Maybe we would differentiate in this havamina between men and women. A man is called a bar mitzvah, and through his hariga, the shor caused the termination of all those mitzvahs, and therefore there should be a tashlume kofer. But an isha who's not chayeves b'chala mitzvahs, maybe there would not be a chiyuv kofer. The Yashmin in Kofar, and if we only had the last drush about Kofar, that if she's victimized, then the Baal HaShar has to pay Kofar, Mishum de Ika Ibud Neshama. The Torah is very machmir here because it's a case of death. Avalhani Tarte, but with regard to Korban for Shvur Sheker or Dini Mominus, the Lek Ibud Neshama. We're not dealing with a matter of life or death. Aim a low, perhaps we don't have the equation between Ish and Isha, and therefore we need all three drushes, all three psukim. So basically this sukkim is trying to analyze why is it we wouldn't derive one from the other, or one from two. Lechora, if we would have had two of them, perhaps we could have set up a Bamematsinu, and we could have derived a third one. For example, let's say if we had Hishva Hakosiv Ishlish Gabi Dinim Va'onshim, so you can have a Pircha Maladinim Shebahem Sheshbahem Chiyusa to facilitate our ability to survive in the world of Dinim Mominis. People will sell to her, she can buy. Onshim Yochichu She'ein Behem Chiyusa. And if you'll have a pircha from onshim, because that's kapora, dinim yochiyah, because there's no element of kapora, is ein achumer shel zeh bozeh, hishva kosu, fatzar shovash men, shenoshim shovos la noshim, afani ovi misos, sheshovos noshim v'noshim. And the Ritva goes ahead and says that we should apply the principle of Torah HaKosav V'Kosav. That Enoch Inami, we could derive from the combination of two, the third, in this case, the Misa case. But Torah HaKosav, the Torah wanted to write it out. That's a principle in Psalm Yudches, Milsa D'Yasi B'Kav L'Chomer, Torah V'Kosav L'Kra. There is, however, a whole different approach here, the Mari Ibn Leib. And that is that since in each one of these three cases the Gemara gives a special svara why Isha Shavah Ish, in the case of Onsha because of Kapora, in the case of Dina because of Chiyusa to survive in the world of money, the Misa Sashar because of Ibn Neshama. Therefore you could not derive any one of these three from the combination of these two, because in each one we'll have a special svara to say that that's why here in that particular domain the Torah equated Isha v'Ish. The Mishnah says Hanizak v'amazik v'tashlumin, and the Gemara wants to explain what that means. What does it mean, even the Nizak is part of the Tashlumin? What is he paying here? Itmar. We have a machlokas in the Beis Medrash with regard to the issue of Shartam, who pays Chatzi Nezek. Palga de Nizka, Rav Papa Omar, Mamona, Rav Huna Bredi, Rav Shu Omar, Knossa. And the Gemara is going to explain why is it that according to Rav Papa we're dealing with Mamon in the case of Chatzi Nezek, why is it that Rav Huna insists that we're dealing with a Knas? And again, there's going to be an afkamina legabi modu v'knas potter, according to Rav Yehuna, if the Baal HaShar comes into Bezdin to admit that his shar was no geach, in the case of a shar tam, he'll be potter because of the din of modu v'knas. Is Rav Papa Omar Mamona, the Gemara explains, the machlokes kasover stam shvarim lav b'chez kashimur kaimi. It means that a shar needs shmira. There's going to be a serious possibility that this shar is belligerent and it'll go out to be no geach. You have to take that into consideration. And therefore, bedinu, according to the strict letter of the law, if not for the Torah having rachmonis here, boilish shlumi kule, the mazik, the owner of the shar, insofar as he was negligent in his obligation to be shomer the shar, should be paying the entire nezek. It's shmiras and alecha, and chavta is nizko. But Rachmana, who the chasaleh, the Torah had a certain rachmanis takati lo iayet Torah, even though again the shar has this propensity and the possibility of going out and damage, but it hasn't really proven itself and defined itself as a shar muad yet. So the Torah says, you know what? We'll reduce the amount of damage payment you have to pay down to chatzi nezek, but it's really a mamon because mikra din you should be paying kuli nezek. Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Shua Amar Knasa Kosover Stam Shvarim b'Chezka Shimur Kaimi. He understands that as a general rule we have no reason to assume or suspect that this animal is going to be belligerent. Strictly speaking, you can't hold a bailim responsible and obligated to pay compensation for something that's totally mishunadik, that's totally out of the assumption, out of the anticipation. There's no serious probability. But nevertheless, Rachmanu de Kanse, the Torah wanted to say, go ahead and do Shmira. And if you don't, we're going to penalize you with a knas, kihechi, deliterate litori, so that we're going to encourage you to watch your shor. We realize that there is a possibility that your shor will go out belligerently and damage with Karen, so therefore it's a knas. Now we come back to our Mishnah, and maybe our Mishnah can prove one way or the other. Tanan, it says, Anizak Ramazik Bitashlumin, as if to say that the Nizak participates in the loss and the damage. Bishleim Lamandi Omer Palkin and Nizkam Amona, Hainu Deshayach Nizak Bitashlumin. Now, there should be a Chiyuv Mammon here, according to Rav Papa, to pay the entire Nezek, and yet the Nizak is only going to collect half of that, as if to say the remaining, the balance, the other 50% he pays out of pocket. Elo lamadi or palgan is kaknasa hashto delav didei shakil. Really, he doesn't deserve to collect anything, this Nizak. The Torah gave him a gift and imposed the penalty on the mazik. It means that he's, you know, money's coming, so to speak, down from heaven. This is an absolute bonus gratis that he gets half of the nezek. Is Batashlum in Isay? Is it shach to say that he's participating in the nezek? To argue that the Nizak is participating in the Tashlumi nezek would mean to say that he's losing something out of pocket. But here, he's not losing something at all. He's just getting new money. He's getting a knas that he really doesn't deserve. So where's the hefsed here? And therefore we have a proof from our Mishnah to establish Rav Papa that Chatzi Nezek, in the case of a Shar Tam, is actually Mamona. It's not knas. Lo Tzricha, the Gemara now rejects this proof and saying that Enochinami, the Nizak is considered as if he is participating mishtatef in Tashlumi Nezek. Lo tzricha el lepchas nevela. Even in the case of a shor tam, there still is to some extent a participation on the part of the Nizak with the loss, and that's called pchas nevela. Meaning, why should the Nizak lose if the nevela, the carcass of the animal, goes down in value between the time of the negicha in the case of Keren and the time of Hamada Bedin when actually they go to Bezdin? The mazik is not paying for that pchas nevela, even though L'chora, he should, his payment, his compensation should be set within the context of the chatzi nezek that the nizak has a right to collect. The Torah didn't give him the full chatzi nezek. He's not going to get the full chatzi nezek b'shleimos because he's going to have to suffer the p'chas nevelo. The Gemara is not happy with this. P'chas nevelo hatoni le reisha. We already have the din of p'chas nevelo back in the Mishnah that we had on Daf Tesam and Beis, the Mishnah of Chavti b'tashlumi nizko. And the Brisa explained the Mishnah tashlumi nezek melamich abaylin metaflin b'nevelo. Why would the Mishnah feel compelled here on Daf Yudalit to repeat the Chiddush that it's already formulated in the earlier Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, Chada b'tam v'chada b'muot. We need both Mishnahs, one for a shar tam, the other for a shar mu'ud utzricha, and we need both of them. To iashmin and tam. If we had the case of tam, we would think that maybe the Torah is being lenient on the mazik and saying he doesn't have to suffer the loss of p'chas nevel mishum dakati lo yayit. He's not fully responsible because the shar is not a shar mu'ud. Avol mu'ud eimo lo. Maybe in the case of shar mu'ud, we have to be more strict and harsh on the baal ha-shar and make him suffer the loss of p'chas nevel. But the iashmina b'mu'ud, as far to say that the Torah was mekel in mu'ud mishum to come shalim kule, since the owner of the shar mu'ud is going to pay the entire nezek. Therefore, the Torah did not want to be so harsh on him and have him carry the loss of p'chas nevela, the devaluation of the carcass after the nezek. Aval tam, where the Torah was already lenient and the owner of the shor only has to pay p'chas nezek, is aim alo. Maybe in such a case, the Torah would be more machmir on the nizak, right? And then we would say hichmira Torah shelo yafsid hanizak as pchas hanevela. I'm sorry, we would be more lenient. We should be more machmir. I meant to say, I apologize. Be more machmir on the owner of the shor and have him suffer also the pchas nevela in the case of tam, because since the Torah on the one hand was mekil, now the Torah should be machmir. The Torah was mekil and only imposed the chiv of chatzin nezek. The Torah should now be machmir and force the mazik to suffer the loss of the pchas nevela tzricha. And therefore, we need two mishnayos to teach us these two chidushin. Now, getting back to the sugya of Palga Denizka Mamona, that's Rav Papa Toshma, let's prove from a Mishnah later on that Palga Denizka is Mamona. Ma bein tam lemuad, the Mishnah says that dimitrin tam and muad shatam mishalim chatzi nezek migufo umuad mishalim nezek sholim min ha'aliyah. The maximum that the owner of the shartam will pay is up to the value of the guf hashar, the shar mazik. But mu'ad is min aliyah. In mu'ad, there's no limit to how much he pays. And min aliyah also means he pays min ha-meitav, the best karka that he has. V'im isa, lisni nami tamei mishalim al pi atzmo, mu'ad mishalim al pi atzmo. If the mission is coming to compare and contrast shor tam and shor mu'ad, it should have pointed out the difference in the case of hodas atzmo. Because if I hold it palga d'nizka mamona like Rav Papa, then Enochinami, even if he was Moda, he would be Chayev based on his own admission. But if I like Rav Huna, that Paladin in Iska is Knas, so we have a din of Moda B'Knas. Potter, why did the Mishnah omit that fundamental difference? And the Gemara answers, Tana Vishir. The Mishnah mentions some of the differences between Tam and Muad, but not all of them. It's not an exhaustive list. So the Gemara asks, to my Shir, the High Shir. Why would he choose only this one nafgamina and leave it out? The Gemara says, no, it's not that he chose one, Shir Chatzi Kofer. The Mishnah also omitted the difference between the case of a mu'ah that kills a man that pays kofar shalem, and a tam that kills a person is pays only chatzi kofar. So Gemara is not happy with that, because imishum chatzi kofar lav shiurahi, because that's not considered a shir and omission, because hamani, the tan of this Mishnah, is Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, the Omar, tam mishalim chatzi kofar. Oh, so Nahavami, the Gemara thought shir chatzi kofar, which means that if a tam, a shard tam, kills a person, the owner of the shard doesn't pay anything at all, not even chatzi kofar. And the Gemara answers that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that tam pays chatzi kofar. In other words, basically everyone pays kofar. The shard mu'ad pays kofar shalem, and the shard tam pays chatzi kofar. And therefore, that's not really a good answer to the question, my shir da hai shir. So now we have really a strong proof that the Mishnah holds palgud and iskabamona. The Gemara now is going to bring another proof from another Mishnah, Toshma. And here we look at Tezvav Amid Beis. The Mishnah in Ksubis, on Daf Mem Aleph, talks about a case of a person who was mode in Bezdin, and his confession was, Hamish Shori Esploni, O Shoro Shalploni, my Shor was responsible for the death of so and so, or the death of a certain Shor, is a Reza Mishalim Alpi Atzmo. He pays based on his own confession. And if that be the case, where's the halacha modu b'knas potter? My lav b'tam. If we're talking about a shor tam, that's the assumption, then for sure he should pay al pi atzmo. If we assume like Rav Chisda, right? That palgud and iska mamona. Rav Papa, I'm sorry, I said Rav Chisda, I meant to say Rav Papa. But according to Rav Huna, the palgud and iska knasa is then modu b'knas potter. Why is mishalim al pi atzmo? So the Gemara rejects this law. The Bryce is not talking about a shor tam, but a shor mu'ut. Aval tam mai is hoki nami di ein mishalim al pi atzmo. I hoki ad tani sefer. The Mishnah and the sefer is looking for a case where ein mishalim al pi atzmo, and it quotes the case of Hamis Shori es avdo shel ploni eino mishalim. We're talking about shloshim shel eved al pi atzmo, because that's a case of modu b'knas. Is liflog v'lisni v'dida? Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to stretch its arm out to the case of Hamis Shori es avdo shel ploni? Why not in the case of Hamis Shor es Ploni? Bamedvar Amurim, when does he pay al pi atzmo? B'mu'ad aval b'tam einu mishalom al pi atzmo. The reason is it's knas. So the Gemara here has a pretty strong raya that palgud and iska mamona, and the Gemara rejects this raya because kula b'mu'ad kamayri. It could very well be that the brisa is limited to discuss only the case of mu'ad. And Shar Mu'ad Enochinami is certainly Mamon and not Knas, and therefore there's no nafkabin about Moda Alpi Atzmo. So at this point, the Gemara rejects that proof that Palgud Nizka is Mamona. Okay, Rabotzai, we'll stop here. And Mitzvah Shem, later on, we'll get a chance to finish Taftesvav Omid Beis Bui Neder B'siyata Dishmaya.